want me to speak to it at all, or?
Yes, if you would, you can give us a quick update.
Okay, so as you're aware, we've been posting several ripple effect nominees over the past, over the past year. 16 nominees were received under the ripple effect program this year, which accounts for 17 people nominated. One of those nominees was a couple. What we do with the ripple effect is we put it up on Facebook and Twitter and celebrate, also on the website, and celebrate the accomplishments of our volunteers in our community and how much they contribute to our community life. Each year we also have two nominees that we can send to the Provincial Volunteer Awards Ceremony in Halifax. This year it's on April 1st. There's 70 volunteers from around the province that are recognized at that event. It's a once-in-a-lifetime award that you get. And to choose those volunteers, we use the pool of nominees that come in through the ripple effect. So I have ballots here in this bag. And if you folks would like to choose, in an effort to keep it fair, because how do you value what one volunteer does over another, they all contribute significant things to our communities in different ways. We, over the past few years, council has elected to draw from a pool.
And all are enclosed within the bag?
Yes, there are 16
I was just
in here.
To clarify.
Yes.
I was wondering, Mr. Bill Cox, would you do us the honor by drawing two names from the bag? It remains impartial, that way. And if you would read the names out loud, please.
No worries.
You can.
Okay. Lauren Amaro of Liverpool and Reagan Stewart of Liverpool. I'll just put it up.
Will you complete the motion?
Yes.
Take the lead. Deputy Mayor Kelly, if you'd like to provide Deputy Mayor Kelly with the motion.
I recommend that the Council of the Region of Queens Municipality nominate the following: Reagan Stewart of Liverpool and Lauren Amaro of Liverpool as the Region of Queens 2019 Volunteers of the Year.
Seconder to that? Councilor Fisk? Do you have any further comments to add, Deputy? Any questions or comments of council on this issue? Deputy Mayor Kelly?
I'd just like to say that I think this is a wonderful program. I'm all for ensuring that this continues. The annual event in Halifax is a wonderful event, and I believe that Queens County has a lot to offer through volunteers, and that we should continue to allow those volunteers to experience that event in Halifax with those 70 other volunteers from around the province, just to be there and understand, you know, what they contribute to Nova Scotia as volunteers. And I think it's an important program, and that we should continue. And I know that sometimes it's difficult because volunteers, they volunteer because they want to help, and they don't necessarily want any rewards or recognition or anything like that. But we have to keep this going to show people that they need, it's important to for them to show, to come forward and show what they do in the community, because it helps to show other people what's possible through volunteering. And I think that's an important message to send as well. So I just wanted to say that.
Any other counselor have a question or comment? Counselor McLeod?
I just have a question, Heather, regarding the current Ripple Effect nominees. Can they be resubmitted at another time, or is that just one time for them?
You can resubmit, yeah.
For the next, like next year.
Would they have to be renominated?
Yes, yes.
But they may think that you could do that.
You folks set the tone of that program.
Any other counselor have a question or comment? Are you ready for the question?
Question.
All those in favor of the motion? It is unanimous, thank you. And thank you, Heather, and thank you, Mr. Cox.
Yes.
Moving on to 10.0, engineering works. Under 10.1, we have 2018 building inspection vehicle, and I'm asking the director of engineering works, Brad Roeder, to come forward. Who would like to take the lead on 10.1? Councilor Fisk?
I so recommend that the Council of the East of Queens Municipality approve the purchase of a 2018 4x4 Chev from the South Shore Chevrolet at a price of $36,693.74 plus HST to be funded from equipment reserve.
Seconded to that motion? Councilor Johnson? Brad, would you like to give us an update?
Sure. This is a budgeted item. It's planned purchase. It's within allocation. It's to replace a 2008 build inspection vehicle. The vehicle's got, I think, 240,000 kilometers on it to give relatively good service, but it's time to replace it. We sent pricing requests out to the three manufacturers that had that size of vehicle, so it's not a full-size half-ton. It's what we, I guess, what we used to call a quarter-ton. I don't really know what to call them now, but the smaller ones. But we only got one price back, which was curious. The price, it's the market price. I mean, checking online as well, right? So it's a good price for that vehicle, and it's in inventory, so it can be purchased right away.
Any questions or comments of councilors? Councilor McLeod?
Brad, I just see the word construction use. So this is the building inspection department.
Yes, that's correct. That's a bit of a typo there.
Is it?
What it is on off-road use, mm-hmm. as it goes out, like in the so-called cottage countries, right?
Mm-hmm. And, I was just curious.
Yeah, because we, years gone by, we used to have one that wasn't really constructed that way, had the smaller tires, and it didn't have a very good service life. So we've since had the off-road packages, a little bit bigger tires, skid plates, that kind of thing. Mm-hmm. And that's what this would have. But it won't be used in construction.
So what happens with the current vehicle?
We're going to use that for the grounds crew. What we'll do with that, it's it's not quite at the end of its life, but for a reliable vehicle for building inspection, it has. In terms of shuttling crews around in town, to mow lots and things like that, it'll be fine. So we're going to retain that for what value's left in it.
Can you give me a total of how many of this type of vehicles we have now in our department?
There's only one. No, I don't have that number off the top of my head. Probably
at some point?
10 or 12, something like that, all together with works department, water utility, grounds crew has to have vehicles, of course, right? Mm-hmm. We're busy departments, right? Between water utility, works, bylaw, building inspection, mm-hmm. right? Takes vehicles.
And are these all stored over at wherever? Are they stored in a compound somewhere, all these vehicles?
That's correct, right. They'd be over to the works yard, they'd be at the grounds crew, primarily between those two locations.
Yeah. I have Deputy Mayor Kelly.
I was just wondering if does it depend on the type of truck and what it's used for? Do we have a standard how many years we keep these? Like, how do we budget for new vehicles?
Sure, roughly, when it comes to works vehicles, generally around 12 years.
12 years.
When they get to be 12 years old,
okay.
Right? I mean, and actually, come 12 years, there's really a whole lot left of them.
No, exactly, yeah.
It's pretty rough
years,
right?
It's kind of a long time,
yeah.
But that's good.
But these particular vehicles, I mean, they travel more kilometers than one, like, works vehicle, right?
Yeah.
So when they get around 10, right, you know, they're getting to the point where they need to be replaced.
Okay.
So this one actually is, what, 10, 11 years old, right?
So with the replacement of this one, and we're keeping that one, there's not one at the bottom of the pile that we're getting rid of or selling off because of
Yeah, that's what we do, like when we buy a works vehicle, right? I think there was one last year, and I think it was a 2006 that was replaced, right?
Right.
You know, sometimes we keep vehicles for 15 years.
Yeah.
You know, that 10, 12 years, I mean, that's a moving target, of course. Generally, they never get replaced before then, but
right.
we'll take them out as long as we can, right?
Yeah.
In fact, we have dump trucks that are still 1989 is the oldest one we have, right? So
okay.
Some of our vehicles are fairly old.
Okay, thank you.
Councilor Fancy?
Yes, Brad, now with this, Bill's old truck and it goes to the grounds improvements, I guess.
Yep.
That will be just like when that's ready to die, it just dies, right? So you get rid of it. It won't be just like getting confirmation that it's not going to be like something else added to the fleet that will eventually have to upgrade to.
It'll just slowly dissolve away, like a lot of our vehicles.
So
they just rust out.
So then if that ever goes like that, then it might be something else. Somebody else might have a truck over here that might end up doing the same thing with, and just so it doesn't add to the fleet, just useless ones.
You know, original, Mike, you can jump in if you want, right? Because there is trying to find another bill inspector, right, an apprentice, so to speak, as Bill is nearing retirement age. So the idea originally was to keep this vehicle, because there will be at times two bill inspectors online at one time, right? So there is an idea why to keep this, but rather than it sit there unused, right, the grounds crew, they might as well use it, right? But there will be times it would be used back into the building inspection, right?
Councilor Fudd?
I understand that these are required vehicles, but now that we're going through our budgeting process, you're purchasing a new vehicle and then you're still keeping the existing ones, then the insurance has will increase and the value, you have a fleet of vehicles. So is that all under one insurance policy? Going to use more gas, your insurance and that and upkeep. So really that is all factored into the cost of keeping that specific vehicle in addition to you needing it.
I think Councilor McLeod, we're getting away from the motion. We're going down the side
much
road
so.
A bit.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah,
and I think that's information that you can
okay.
easily pull out of staff at another
okay.
time.
Okay.
Any other member of council have a question or comment on this issue? Are you ready for the question?
Questions.
All those in favor of the motion? All those opposed? It is unanimous. Thank you.
Thank you, Jeff.
So I will call a 10-minute recess at this point in time. And then So we will resume council meeting. We have under 11.0 finance. We have an 11.1 bylaw number 14. A bylaw respect tax exemptions, first reading. Jennifer Keating Dubley, our Director of Finance, is here. Who would like to take the lead on 11.1? Deputy Mayor Kelly.
I recommend that the Council of the Region of Queens Municipality gives first reading to bylaw 14 respecting tax exemptions.
Seconder for that? Councilor McLeod. Jennifer, would you like to give us a quick update on this information that's been circulated?
So this bylaw comes before council each year. It's a great resource and an opportunity for nonprofit and charitable organizations in the region of Queens to have their property taxes exempted. The only changes we have in the bylaw this year is you'll see there's two additional assessment account numbers added for the Milton Community Hall. It's not actually additional accounts. They subdivided their land, creating three accounts from the one. So it's the same property, just had to add the two additional assessment account numbers. And the other property, the beach property, has been removed because that property's been sold. Other than that, there's been no changes to the bylaw from the previous year.
Any council have a question or comment? Councilor Fancy?
So when you say with the Milton Community Hall has been divided, it's still all tax exempt though?
Correct.
Okay, so it hasn't been one part now being paying taxes on it?
No, we were previously exempting the one assessment account number.
Right.
They subdivided into three assessment account numbers. It's
right.
still the same geographical area of property,
okay.
but the additional assessment account numbers, because there's now assessment values attached to them on the assessment roll, have to be added to our
okay, thank you.
Bylaw.
Any other councilor? Deputy Mayor Kelly?
I was just curious, this budget impact, $236,000 in tax dollars forgiven, do you know what that number was last year?
Roughly the same. The only difference in that value would be the slight bump in some of the assessment values. Not all the properties on the list moved. Some of them moved
okay.
a little bit, but that is just because of the assessment bump.
Okay, I was wondering. Thank you.
Any other councilor? Councilor Fisk?
Assessment District 13. Can you explain that, Karen?
This is the former town of Liverpool.
Okay, thank you.
Higher rate than Districts 1 to 12.
Thank you.
Any other comments or questions? Are you ready for the question?
Question.
All those in favor of the motion? It is unanimous, thank you. Moving on to 11.2. We have a temporary borrowing resolution, Brooklyn Sewer Water, Shore Road Park. Who would like to take the lead? Councilor McLeod.
I recommend that the Council of the Region of Queens Municipality approves temporary borrowing resolution file number 2019-01 in the amount of $775,000 for Brooklyn Sewer Water Shore Road to the Park, copy attached.
Seconder to that? Deputy Mayor Kelly? Jennifer, would you like to update on this one?
So this is the next phase, or the most recent phase of the Brooklyn Sewer and Water upgrades. This would be on last year's 2018-19's capital budget. The borrowing resolution is for the full amount of the budget. However, the project has come in under budget, and so I will only be borrowing the amount that we will require for the project. I expect that to be in the range of $725,000-$730,000. You're not able to get ministerial approval for borrowing until the project is complete, which is why this is coming forward now that the project has been finished. And we will be participating in the spring, so May 2019's borrowing.
Any questions or comments? Are you ready for the question?
Question.
All those in favor of the motion? It is unanimous, thank you. 11.3, Administrative Policy 9, respecting tax exemptions. Who would like to take the lead on this one? Deputy Mayor Kelly?
I recommend that the Council of the Region of Queens Municipality approves the Administrative Policy 9, respecting tax exemptions, as amended. Copy attached.
Seconder to that? Councilor Mills? Jennifer, would you like to give us a brief overview of this one?
So each year we review the federal income supplement amount on Canada Revenue site. We base it on the married amount, so for the two persons in the home. We're raising the amount, or recommending the amount be increased from $23,005 to the $24,096 based on that Canada Revenue website. We do always provide for council a list of neighboring municipalities and what they offer for their low income tax exemptions as well. Our policy and the application form that has to be filled out is available on our website. We automatically send it to anyone who's qualified in the previous year. And you must provide an assessment or verification of the income level for your household in order to qualify, and that would be for any income for any adult living in the household. We will be increasing the value in the budget this year. There has been additional uptake. Normally our budget would be to allow for 250 successful applicants. However, we are reaching the 296 mark this year. So my recommendation in the upcoming budget will be for the 300 which raises our budget level from 65,000 to 75,000.
Any questions of council? Councilor McLeod?
Jennifer, then you're saying that the whether you're single or combined household, the minimum is 24,000?
24,096, yes.
Well, that's quite a good boost then for the single homeowner.
It is.
But the amount, and then they get a reduction of 250 on.
And they get a $250 reduction on their taxes, up to and including if their taxes don't reach the $250 mark. Of course,
okay,
they get the full exemption.
Right, great, thank you. Good, very good.
So, just to clarify, the single number is 18,000.
Yeah.
For the married is 24,000. So it's not the single level is 24,000.
Oh.
We actually have on our application that the household income level is the 24,096. We don't differentiate between single and married, so it's combined household income up to that one value, and we don't distinguish between the two levels.
So
$24,096 combined household income.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So whether you're single or have a
problem. Correct. Yeah.
I have Council Deputy Mayor Kelly here.
I just wanted to clarify, the way I'm reading this is that this is for 1920, right?
Yes.
So the end of February is still the deadline for last year.
Yes.
For people to get under the old rules, so the 23,520 and the $250.
Right.
Still can get your applications in for your tax refund or your tax exemption for 2018.
Mm-hmm. For the June 2018 billing? Correct.
Yes, for June 2018 billing, and this would be for next February.
That's right.
Right.
Councilor Fisk?
Jennifer, did you see any increase in the seniors or low-income earners taking advantage of this? Is it up or down?
That's why I'm recommending that we increase the budget level this year. Like as I said, normally the 250, the allowance for 250 eligible applicants has been adequate, and we've been under the 250 mark, but we've had 296 applicants this year so far that are eligible, so my budget recommendation will be to increase the budget line to allow for 300.
I'm actually glad to hear that the increase, because it's very important to these low-income earners.
It's nice to see that there's been some additional uptake. Sure.
Yeah. Yeah. Thank you.
Deputy Mayor Kelly?
I think this is a great program, and you know, when we look through of what we're, you know, the Region of Queens is doing right now, you know, with these tax exemptions and whatnot, that and with the fire department, whatnot, how much the Region of Queens actually gives back to the community in free money and whatnot, and helps the community, and nice to see that as a whole list of what we do. But I think this is great. I think that compared to the other municipalities, that we're probably, I would say, more on the fair, like more, give back more and more generous. I think we're more generous when it comes to the other municipalities. So that's nice to see as well. And I would encourage, all my residents and share wherever I can this information. I'd like to see on the communication side, though, that we put this out on social media. Can we make sure that that happens? It doesn't include social media, it just says website, and I'm not sure whether website actually infers that it automatically goes to social media. Yeah, but just to make sure that everybody is aware, and applications are available here at the region for anybody that wants to apply for this tax exemption.
All doable.
Thank
Any
you.
Any other councillor have a comment or a question? Are you ready for the question?
Question.
All those in favor of the motion? Unanimous. Thank you. Moving on to 11.4, landfill tipping fees. Who would like to take the lead on 11.4? Councillor Mews?
I move that the Council of the Region of Queens Municipality approve the tipping fee schedule as attached. Residential municipal solid waste sorted construction and demolition material, mixed construction and demolition material, blue bags, recyclables, metal, white goods, contaminated soil, and septic, effective April 1st, 2009.
Second to that, Councilor Fisk. Jennifer, would you like to give us a quick update?
So each year we review the rolling 10-year CPI average, and that is how we move our tipping fees. We have a number of contracts with neighboring municipalities. It's written in their contracts that that's how the tipping fee schedule will change each year. Currently, I've added in, December was the last known CPI when I prepared this motion at 2.1, so our average was 1.59%, the rolling 10-year CPI, and that's what those tipping fees have moved. That includes all waste streams, except of course for blue bags. The blue bags move according to our union contract wage increases, so that was at the 1.75 instead of the 1.51.
Any councilors have any questions or comments?
I'd just like to know, when it says compostable organic material, what does it mean by actual? Under commercial?
So previously that was a formula. Now that formula hasn't changed over the last number of years because of the contract we have for the transfer, but our landfill facility has an organic transfer station. We don't actually process organics. We transfer them to the valley, to Northbridge. We have a per tonnage rate for that transfer, as well as a ongoing, of course, CPI rolling average on that as well. The amount that we're being charged for that tonnage transfer hasn't changed over the past number of years, but normally in the past when we had used GE's and the municipality of the District of Lunenburg, it had moved each year, and we would move that fee schedule accordingly.
So actual just means whatever we're being
whatever
charged.
We're being charged.
Right. Okay, thank you.
Any other councilor?
I'm just curious, commercial, where is it? Where is it charged? Do we, what we charge businesses to put their, like, registered businesses, say, like in Liverpool or in downtown commercial districts, when they put their garbage out?
So the normal garbage curbside pickup is our contract with GE's. So that's provided to the residents, the, you know, however many number of days a week that's picked up. When we say commercial tipping fees, we mean commercial haulers or construction businesses that bring their waste streams themselves directly to the facility. And the differentiation here, of course, is that residential customers are allowed 4 half-ton truckloads per month at no charge, but commercials would pay for all of their disposal at the facility.
Any other councilor? Are you ready for the question?
Question.
All those in favor of the motion? Thank you. Thank you, Jennifer. Moving on to 12.0, recreation and community facilities. We have nothing under that today. Under 13.0, planning, we have 13.1. Development agreement request, cellular tower, telecommunication tower, Metapont Lane, Liverpool. Mike McLeod, our director of planning, is now at the presentation desk. Who would like to take the lead on 13.1? Councilor Muse?
I move that the Council of the Region of Queens Municipality adopt an administrative policy 53 respecting a development agreement to allow for the erection of a new cellular telecommunication tower on property identified as PID number 7004-7055 and located off Meadowpond Lane.
Seconded by Councilor Fisk. Mike, would you like to give us an update on this?
Yep, just a little bit of background, Mr. Mayor. I guess the region has received an application from Eastlink to erect a new cellular telecommunication tower on a property that's located off the end of Meadowpond Lane in Liverpool. It's the intent of Eastlink that they would lease a portion of the subject property to facilitate the development. The property itself is located in the mixed-use coastal residential R6 zone under the region's land use bylaw, which doesn't permit telecommunication towers as of right, but within the Municipal Planning Strategy Council has incorporated policy whereby it can consider such uses through a development agreement process. So the application for a development agreement has been submitted. Eastlink is proposing a 61 meter guide cellular telecommunication tower within the property. the location of the tower structure itself is approximately 700 feet from the closest dwelling, which is also located on the subject property. The Health Canada has established a set of standards or guidelines around exposure to radio frequency, and in the application, Eastlink has certified that they have followed within the guidelines of Health Canada. On January 22nd, Council held a public hearing respecting the proposed development, at which a number of members of the public came out to voice their opinions regarding the proposed development. Incorporated in the discussion paper, there's a number of things that the Municipal Planning Strategy has identified as things that Council should consider when considering development agreements, and they're included within the discussion paper for Council's discussion today.
And all correspondence that has been received has been circulated to Council?
For the public hearing, it has, yes.
Okay. Any Councilor have a question or comment on this item? Councilor Fancy?
Has Eastlink been advised that there is a controversy going on? I'd love to see him just back away, because knowing it's a problem. But rather than, I would have loved to see that happen rather than to go to the direction we were going with. Have they been advised?
Eastlink is certainly aware. They've been attending the public hearing. We actually have a couple of representatives of Eastlink in attendance today as well. So they're certainly aware of the process and the comments expressed by the public at the public hearing. Sure.
Any other councillor have a comment or question? Councillor Johnson?
This particular tower, and I've been reading through all that information, does it service customers who cannot access service today? Or is it a convenience that people now have more of a choice?
It's my understanding that it's increasing the service available. There's a number of, I guess they call it dead spots around or where the service is poor, and I guess it's the intent that this tower would increase the service for that area. Now, if there's particular details, I don't know whether the representatives for Eastlink can, I guess, expand upon that, but that's my understanding. There's certain areas, and they're trying to fill those holes with the
dead spots to Eastlink that could be serviced by another.
That's right. Is that correct, Stephen? Or?
Yes. Would you like me to come forward, Mike? Or?
Yes, please.
My name is Stephen Banks. I'm the site acquisition manager with Eastlink. I'm sorry, was there a direct question that you wanted answered? Or?
The question was the service is going to be provided from this tower. I live in rural North Queens,
mm-hmm.
and there are people there who can't get service. Is that the same case here, that this is going to service people who can't get it today,
mm-hmm.
or is it just going to service people who can't particularly get it from Eastlink, but can get it from your competitor?
Yeah, so it's twofold. One is for us to provide coverage to areas where there is no coverage right now. And the second is to increase the data speeds or the coverage that some existing customers do have. So it's fulfilling both of those requirements.
Does that answer your question, Councillor Johnson?
I think without giving away trade secrets, I guess I didn't want to talk about what Eaton says for citizens or anything like that. So. But at the end of the day, I know it's going to benefit your customers.
Absolutely.
But yep. They have a choice. They can get service from other providers.
That's right.
Councilor McLeod?
Thank you, Stephen, for attending today. And I know you should have had opportunities to speak with you prior to this. I have a question regarding if you're the site manager at the acquisition position there,
mm-hmm.
looking at sites, potential sites. Are there any other sites within an area that are not so close to the residential that you could certainly achieve what you're trying to achieve with increased service?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so that's a great question. A lot of people make the comments when we're proposing to put new towers in the area that push it away from homes, put it in an area that's very sparsely populated where there's a lot of forestry area, so it's not bothering anybody from a visual impact or misconceived health impacts of it as well. The solar industry is maturing from where it was when it first started 10 or 15, 20 years ago. Initially, people were just using their phones to make phone calls, and at that point, it was easy to situate a tower far enough away from where people are living and still provide that service to them. But the way that the industry is shifting now is that people are using their smartphones and tablets to access the internet and use apps. It's much more data impacted now than what it used to be. And the reality is, in order to provide high-quality data services, you need to have your infrastructure closer to where the people are using those services. So one of the first things that we do when we look to provide coverage to an area is we assess all the existing infrastructure that's currently present. And that could be existing towers owned by competitors, could be a water tank, a tall building, any type of infrastructure at all. We're required by the federal government to look at that as an option before proposing something new. So in this case, we did all that. The current installation that we have right now, we have antennas up on top of the CBC tower on Great Hill. And that's where competitors are providing their coverage as well. But in order to address the dead spot areas that we have in town and provide higher data speeds, we need to move closer into the urban core to provide those services. In terms of, do we have other options as an alternative to the spot that we proposed? No, this was the only option that we were able to come to an agreement with the landowner for, to put it in a position where it would meet our coverage requirements.
So, and this is kind of a technical question. There seems to be, there's not a lot of forestry conditions in our in our local area here, mm-hmm. that would cause any issues with the clear path or whatever you require for delivery of your signals.
Mm-hmm.
There are other towers, like there's the one out on White Point Road that,
yep.
And have you tried to get that agreement with those tower owners?
So we've got equipment on that tower as well. So any existing towers in the area that are being used by either competitors or anyone else, mm-hmm. we either have our equipment on those towers presently, or those towers wouldn't help improve the area that we're trying to increase the coverage to.
Okay, so what area are you trying to increase your coverage to?
So if you think of where the tower is situated, it's roughly a 3 to 6 radius around that tower, 3 to 6 kilometer radius around that tower is what we're trying to target for improving the coverage to.
Improved by the other tower on White Point Road?
No, it can't. So like I said, we have our equipment on that tower already, as well as the CBC tower up on top of the Great Hill.
So if this didn't go through, you have no other option?
No, not at the moment. No, this is our only option. This is the only piece of property that we have acquired right now that we're able to move forward with.
Okay, so there could be other properties though down the road that you might want to look at?
There could be options. This was the best option that we felt that we could put forward to a proposal to ask for council to consider.
Okay.
Some of the things that we take into consideration when we're looking for a location is, first off, it's availability of land. We have to have willing landowners in the area to work with us in order to acquire it. The other is putting the tower in a location where it's going to minimize the amount of infrastructure required to provide that increased coverage. So in some situations, it may be possible to build 3 or 4 towers instead of 1 tower. But typically what we're trying to do is limit the amount of infrastructure that's going to be put in the area. And to do that, we try to locate the tower in a situation where it's going to provide the best coverage to the area.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Mayor Kelly?
Did you say 36 kilometers?
No, 3 to 6.
3 to 6
yes.
kilometers. Okay, 3 to 6 kilometers. So we've heard a lot, no, I was going to say, we've heard a lot about, from the public hearings, about why it shouldn't be placed where it's being placed.
Mm-hmm.
But we haven't heard anyone, so there's a lot of people that are against where it's going to be placed. I haven't heard anyone come forward to say that they need the tower there and to improve their cell phone service. So where's your data, or what do you base it on that you know that you're going to be improving service? Is it to get new customers?
Mm-hmm.
Or is there been a lot of complaints around Mersey Point and Western Head that they don't have cell phone service? Because I've asked around and I can't find anybody that has a problem with their cell phone service out in that area.
Yeah, so what's triggering our proposed development here is existing customers making complaints to Eastlink about our service.
Right.
Yep.
Okay.
Any other questions of Mr. Banks by council? Or thank you, Mr. Banks,
thank
for answering those questions.
Thanks.
Any other questions or comments of councilors on this issue? So you've all heard the public comments at the public sessions. You've been privy to the correspondence that's been circulated. Are you ready for the question?
Question.
All those in favor of the motion? All those opposed to the motion? It's unanimous. The motion is opposed and defeated. Thank you. Moving on to 13.2, appointment to the Planning Advisory Committee, a recommendation. Who would like to take the lead on 13.2?
Which one is that? Sorry. Oh, yeah, I can do that one.
You want to come in?
Just let me get there. I recommend that Maddie Charlton be appointed to the Planning Advisory Committee as representative for District 3 for a term to expire on October 31st, 2020.
Second to that, Councilor Fisk. Mike, would you like to give us an update?
Yep, I guess under currently we have a vacancy for District 3 on the Region's Planning Advisory Committee. Maddie Charlton has submitted her name as interested in fulfilling that role for District 3 representative. So that's the recommendation before you today.
Any questions or comments of councilors on this issue? Are you ready for the question?
Questions.
All those in favor of the motion? It is unanimous. Thank you very much. Thank you, Mike. Moving on to 14.0 reports, we have under 14.1, Auction Police, Kelly Cole Salmon Limited. Who would like to take the lead on 14.1? Deputy Mayor Kelly.
I recommend that the Council of the Region of Queens Municipality approve the submission of the proposed questions to Kelly Cove Salmon Limited concerning the proposed aquaculture expansion plans for Liverpool Bay.
Second to that, Councilor McBride. Any questions or comments of council on this one?
So I was going to wait to see if anybody else went first. I just don't want
you
to miss.
You can go first, Councilor
Fancy,
if you wish.
No, I'll go. I just want to wait to see everybody else, see what they get to say. Though.
They're all waiting for you.
Yeah,
okay.
They were waiting for
no
you.
No other hands on the air at this point.
Okay.
You, Jay.
Now, as we look through this, this has been an ongoing issue, which we've come to a spot where the region is looking at trying to go forward with something. And I've had a chance to read over the 24 points that we are to be presented. And, you know, they're well written, and they were sent out to councilors for us all to peruse. I actually was speaking to one of the provincial officials just to ask him some questions, because there's so much to this that it's always hard to understand, and I know that there's been back and forth with our communications, that there are other questions that I know myself even that I would like to know more about, and I know others who have presented questions, but there are only the 24 that are here. One question that was asked in the gallery this morning is that If we give up to 24 questions and we get 24 answers back that are suitable, are we okay with the incident? So that becomes another question that knowing where we're going and what we're trying to do. I guess it's what you're trying to accomplish. When I talked with this one official, he said that any question is a good question because it makes people accountable. And so when you're going forward with questions, it's not a bad thing, because it's the only thing is when questions go forward, you've got to get the answers back, and everything has to be, you have to document everything, because it may be something that may come up at the end with the review panel that you may be able to bring forward back to saying, well, this is the answer I got back and I'm not satisfied with the answer, or whatever it may be. But I go back to the time when we were invited up to Shelburne to talk with the government officials and the scientists about what they had to present. And I was really totally amazed at the research and science that's been put into these things. I mean, really they do. They don't take it lightly. They work very, very hard at this. But my understanding of coming towards the end and seeing everything they presented, and even seeing the pictures underneath the pens and such as where it is and what's going on, my understanding, and of course it's just my understanding of the results of in particular with the Beach Meadows pens, is that everything's going well from the science point of view. And that what they're saying is that they would, then it becomes, would they consider any requests in this area that would make the capacity larger? And they would look at it from the science point of view to say if it's still sustainable. So if they said they wanted to have another 10 pins or 15 pins, then it would be looked at to say, is it still sustainable going forward? Before we left, I proposed a question near the end of the meeting to those there, because I'm no scientist and I don't have the gear or the technology or anything to be able to talk to them about their science. But the one thing that I was looking at it is from the tourism aspect, you know, the optics tourism, environmental sensitivity, which we've talked about, people visiting, people living here, people who are planning to move here, and the people who are living here and saying they moved here because of our beaches and things. And and I asked if I sent a letter to Cooks or Kelly Cove, and then we were going to send something off to, I said to them, but actually we'd have to go to the review panel, that that could be looked at. He said, absolutely. So it isn't something that's just going to be thrown out. I keep hearing it, if I sit like that, it'd be thrown out. They said, absolutely. And when I even talked to this official, he said, absolutely, be looked at. But with that in mind, we have we look over here, the application legislation is the agriculture regulations say that there are eight areas that have to fall under. And he said is that if you were going to go any kind of that way, you'd have to. I said, what about if I said, well, okay, there's people moving into our area. We could look at things like our land transfer tax to be able to tell you how many people have moved into our area, and maybe our area has grown 15% in the last such and such a time. That numbers like that, and then people say, I moved here because of the beaches. I love the beaches. I love the area. I love what we have. And that's why I'm here. I said, of those factors, absolutely. And I said, if we looked at people even going to the beaches, and he said, if you want to look at how many people were going to the beaches and get some kind of a number, how many go, that's numbers too. All these things are looked at as numbers. And of course, he isn't going to be the one who's going to be hearing these things. It's going to have to go to the review panel, because it used to be before you had the one person who was the minister who would make the decision on whether granting license or not. and they wanted to get away from that. And so they've got an independent review panel that has nothing to do with politics in either way, because they don't want politics involved in this. So he said from his point of view, those are good points. So mine is looking at the scoping process, and that's what I was always looking at right from the start.